please take your Bible with me and open again to that familiar passage, Christmas time, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this morning. So we come to the time and study of God's Word. This morning I've entitled our message, Look, Listen, and Live. In just a few days, we will gather together as families in our homes and there enjoy the wonderful celebration of Christmas. Probably most of you, if not all of us, will enjoy the same sort of tradition. We will open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2 and we will read together what we commonly call the Christmas story. It's not just believers who will open Luke 2 and read that passage together. There will be many who will gather and read that because it's considered the Christmas story. But the sad reality is to many, it's just simply that. It's just a story. But there is much for us to see and learn and understand from this wonderful passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 2 is more than just a mere story. In fact, H.A. Ironside said this about Luke chapter 2. He said, the Christmas story is a glorious reality, a wondrous fact, apart from which there could be no salvation for sinful men. You and I have before us a wonderful story, a wonderful reality that Jesus Christ came to save sinners of whom we really are but chief. And we cannot forget the enormity of the event of Christ coming to this earth. The miraculous birth of Christ is the foundation stone of our Christian faith. And without it, we repudiate the truth of the gospel, apart from which there is no hope for the lost world. God has given to us and recorded for us the wonderful reality that Jesus Christ came. That he came that he might die upon the cross of Calvary. And in this story we have the wonderful blessing of the gospel message. Just bow together please in a word of prayer and then we'll take up our passage together and consider some thoughts from it this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for our time that you have given us this morning. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon our study of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful reality that Jesus Christ came and he gave his life upon the cross of Calvary. He was born that he might die. Now, Lord, I pray that at this time of the year, as we celebrate the birth of the Savior, that, Lord, we would be reminded of the purpose of that birth. Lord, we'd be willing to share and rejoice in his coming and share it with those who know not Christ as Savior. So, Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us in our time and our study this morning. And, Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with me again to Luke chapter 2. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Man, at the beginning of human history, made a choice. Adam chose to disobey the word of God and therefore plunged the human race into the depths of sin, and by that decision brought destruction upon mankind. But the Bible tells us that our God is rich in mercy, and wherein the great love he loved us, he provided for us a wonderful way of escape. Man, because of sin, was doomed to face the wrath of Almighty God. But God now has provided a way of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. God in eternity past decided to provide for all mankind redemption through the blood, the precious blood of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. That was first pronounced to us in the Garden of Eden when Satan and was told that by the seed of a woman his head would be bruised, although he would bruise his heel. This one to be born, the Messiah, would crush the power of Satan, would destroy the power of sin. And throughout the Old Testament scripture, God progressively revealed truths to us concerning the wonderful Messiah to come. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4, Isaiah tells us that he would be born of a virgin, that his name would be called Emmanuel. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We're reminded in Matthew chapter 1 that means God with us. Later in Isaiah's prophecy, he would tell us that the Messiah is a child born. That means he is of human birth, but he is also the Son that is given. And in this Messiah, there would be both humanity and deity. And in it, we find the wonderful titles of this one to be born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As you go throughout the Old Testament, we find Micah, and in Micah's prophecy, he tells us that he will be born in the town of Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth shall be from of old, from everlasting. The Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, this one who is both God and man. David in his Psalms will reveal to us that the Messiah that will be born would suffer for the cause of his people, and yea, for the whole world, even as Isaiah would share in Isaiah 53. If you study through the covenants that we find in the Old Testament, we find in those covenants that this Messiah would be born a Jew, that he would be born of the house and the lineage of David. Then in Galatians chapter 4, we find the wonderful reality that in the fullness of time, that when that fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The Messiah to come. What a wonderful blessing that at this time of the year we're able to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, who is this one prophesied of old. And now we see the reality of that and the fruition of that to come true here in Luke chapter 2. This morning as we come to Luke 2, we find that the fullness of time came, and now born in Bethlehem is this one, the Messiah, promised of old. As we begin to look at this passage this morning, I want you to take the time with me just to look into the cradle as we begin here in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Again, we find it where it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. In verse 4, we're told that Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he is of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. By the way, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 1 and look for it yourself in Matthew 1, you're going to find that Mary is also of the house and of the lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who is great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Why a manger? Because in Bethlehem there was no room for them in the inn. Here we find the wonderful truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with our mind's eye, I want you to look with me into the very cradle of the Lord. There is nothing so precious as the first few hours after a child is born. Every one of us that's a parent knows the wonderful joy and the blessing of being able to hold that child for the very first time, to be able to sit with them while they are swaddled up, and there to look into their eyes, and there to be able to see them there with you now and understand the blessing that they're going to be with you for quite some time. And the reality is, there is nothing quite like the birth of a newborn child. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful scene. One commentator simply said, every cradle holds the mystery of life. This one more than all the others. I want you to look into the very cradle of the Lord this morning. I want you to see a few things with me. So as we look into the cradle this morning, I want you to see with me, first of all, the mystery of his birth. The mystery of his birth. For surrounding the birth of this child, this one that would be called Jesus, whose name would be Emmanuel, who is also the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Surrounding the birth of this child, there is of the Son of Mary great intrigue. For this child, born to Mary, is told that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. You go over to Matthew chapter 1, and we find there that Joseph is sitting there contemplating what should be done. For he finds that his espoused wife, although they had not yet been together, is great with child. She is pregnant, but the Holy Spirit comes and tells him, an angel comes and says, that this one conceived of Mary is of the Holy Ghost. So what we find there in Matthew chapter 1 and here in Luke chapter 2 is this one that is born is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 7 and verse 14. That behold, a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, that his name would be called Emmanuel. We find here in Luke 2 the fulfillment of Micah chapter 2. For there Micah tells us that he was to be born in the town of Bethlehem. I want you to consider the events that surround the birth of the Savior. Mary and Joseph don't live in Bethlehem. They live in Galilee, in the town of Nazareth. Now, the reality is, when you are great with child, you do not tend to travel all that much. I can go back 5 years when we were planning to move here. Amy was 7 months pregnant with Parker in October. At month 8, November, we would not be permitted to fly anymore. So we booked our flight at the end of October, literally the last day that she would be able to fly. Why? Because those great with child don't tend to travel all that much. Mary and Joseph were settled in Galilee. But God said this one to be born was to be born in Bethlehem. So they went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. And everyone was to return to the house and lineage of his father. That meant Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem. And in the days that they were there, it was accomplished that she would deliver. And she brings forth that firstborn son in the little town of Bethlehem. God caused the whole land to be placed in movement so that the scripture might be fulfilled, that he was born in Bethlehem. Folks, our God is able to do what He wills. He moved the whole world to get Joseph to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that the Savior fulfill the prophecy to be born in that place. Although this child was the promised Messiah, we find the mystery that when his parents arrive, there's no place for him. They are to have this child in a manger. There they have him in simply a cave. There they place him in the manger stall. That would become his crib. That would become his cradle. There is no place for them. What we find there is simply this. There is not a world looking for the coming of the Messiah. The people to whom the message of the Messiah be given were not looking for him at all. Although all the prophecies pointed to his birth at this time. Folks, God made it rather specific in his prophecies as to when the Savior would come. And if they were astute to the understanding of the Word of God, they would have been looking for him to come. So how do you know that there is the reality? How do you know the Scriptures point to all of those things? There were wise men who had studied the Scriptures from afar, who understood the Savior had come. And they traveled there to see him. No one in all of Jerusalem, no one in all of Israel came to see the birth of the Savior. They weren't looking for the Messiah. It's part of the mystery of his birth. But I also want you to notice with me the marvel of his birth. The marvel of his birth. It is a marvelous thought to consider whom it was that was born on that night. Sometimes I think we know the story so well that we don't take the time to really consider what took place. But Luke chapter 2 reveals to us the marvel of the birth of our Savior. And there we find that born in the lowly manger was none other than the very Son of God. One that the Lord would later say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This babe in the manger, this little child born on that day, is the very Son of God. What a marvel to consider. A marvel to consider that God would care enough to send his only begotten Son into this world. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me. Remember, man made a choice, did he not? To plunge himself in the depths of sin. Man chose to disobey God. And the marvel is that God promised from the very beginning that he would provide for the needs of man through one to be born, the Messiah. And in Luke chapter 2, we find that the very Son of God is now come. Born in the lowly manger is the Son of God. But born in the lowly manger is also the Savior of the world. He who would give his life a ransom for sinful and wicked men. As we go throughout the Christmas season, as we consider the birth of Jesus Christ, let us not forget that the Savior of the world is now there with us. God with us. He had come to give his life for you, for me. This one makes me think, born in the lowly manger is the great I am. That little babe, the Son of Mary, this little child now born in such lowly estate, is the great I am. Remember in Exodus, as Moses prepares to go back to the people of Israel, to declare to them that he will be their leader, their emancipator, the one to take them out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land. And Moses says, "God, I believe in you, but the reality is, how will they know? What do I tell them?" "Well, I came upon a bush and it was burning." "Lord, what do I say? What is your name?" And he says, "You tell them that I am has sent you." I like the story later on in the Lord Jesus' life as he's standing there with the Pharisees. And they were questioning him, and his statement to simply them was this: before Abraham was, I am. And folks, they were infuriated at such a statement, for they knew that he was using the name of Yahweh. They wanted to take up stones and kill him for such blasphemy. But he had the right to make that claim, for he was the great I am. Born in this lowly manger, we also find one that was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, as 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 tells us. He owned all things. There is nothing that does not belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yet he came and was born in but a lowly manger. Born in this lowly manger was one equal with God. Yet he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Then being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Folks, as you read the story of the coming of Jesus Christ, as you see the birth of the Savior, would you take the time to marvel who it is? The great and wonderful God of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things, the great I am, left the glory of heaven and came to earth, was made like unto sinful men, who was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we might be redeemed. As you and I look into the cradle in Bethlehem, we find the marvelous and a majestic scene. The cradle conceals him in his power and his majesty, for he is God. But we see him in such a lowly form. But it also reveals to us the very grace and love of God, because he came that we might live. As you and I look at the Christmas story, we need to take the time to look into the cradle to behold this child that is born, simply known as the Son of Mary. But we know him to be the one who fulfills the prophecy of the Scripture. Second, I want to encourage you to listen to the message that we find, and we find that beginning in verse 8. For there we're told there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As we look at the story of the coming of the Savior, we ought to listen to the message as it is proclaimed. We have taken the time to look into the cradle to see the one who is born. But notice with me the message that is shared. First of all, we find the glory of God revealed. The glory of God revealed. Throughout this portion of Scripture, one thing is clearly seen, and that is the glory of the Lord. Look at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. As the message is proclaimed, we see the glory of our God. I want you to consider that thought with me for just a moment. God is now revealing to his people the coming and the birth of the Messiah. That statement, the glory of the Lord, takes us all the way back into our Old Testament to what we often refer to as the Shekinah glory. When the Lord came and he rested upon the tabernacle, the Bible says that his glory filled that place. After Solomon created the temple and he built the temple and he dedicated it to the Lord, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord overtook that place. It's It's often been referred to again as the Shekinah glory of God. It was the reminder of His very presence. So on that night, as the angels now appear unto the shepherds, the Bible says that the Shekinah glory shows. Why is that so important? Folks, it had been over 400 years since God had revealed Himself in any way to His people. The last proclamation of the Lord came from the last prophet, Malachi. Now we come to Matthew. 400 years have passed. Not a word has been spoken. No revelation. No prophet. Nothing. It had been silent. And now on that night, the glory of the Lord shines forth and declares the coming, the birth of the Son of God. As in the Old Testament, so now in the New, the glory of the Lord brought fear upon man. But folks, God wasn't finished just by this message revealing to us the glory of God. He also reveals to us the grace of God's gospel. Notice what we find again in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." What is that message? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Christ, or there being Messiah, the Lord. The grace of God's gospel is now revealed. A Savior is born. All throughout the Old Testament scriptures, all throughout the prophecies of the old, there had been the promise of this one who would come. Born of a virgin, the government upon His shoulders, His name, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, born in the little town of Bethlehem. The Messiah, He who would bruise the head of Satan, even though His heel would be bruised in the process. Had the power to break the power of sin within our lives. The promised Messiah had come. Good tidings that bring great joy. A Savior is born. No wonder why the angels join and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." There's a wonderful message that is proclaimed. Consider that this Christmas season as you hear songs such as "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," "Glory to the Newborn King." It is a wonderful reality that Jesus came, that He died. Folks, we're to take a time and look into the cradle, and there we see the Son of God born for us. But you need to take time and listen to the message, "For unto us a Savior is born." That beholds, or that causes us to have wonderful joy and blessing within our lives. There's one final thought I want you to see though with me, and that is simply this. We ought to live like the shepherds. Look with me, if you would, at verse 15. After the announcement is now made, verse 15 says, "And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which had come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Final challenge again this morning is that we would learn now, in light of the message that we've heard, to live as the shepherds lived on that night. Here's what we find. We're told in verse 15 and 16 that the shepherds pursued the Lord without delay. They pursued the Lord without delay. That when it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them. They said one to another, "Let us go now. Let us go into Bethlehem. Let us find this which we have heard." The message was proclaimed, and they pursued him without delay. They immediately sought out the Savior that was born. They left behind their sheep to seek the shepherd of their souls. To them, there was nothing more important, nothing more pressing. To them, it had been known, made known, that the Messiah had come. You know what I find interesting? I find it interesting that they're the only ones who immediately pursued after Christ. Matter of fact, if you just go down and you'll see it there in verse 18, that after verse 17, that they gone out and made moan abroad that which was told them. It says in verse 18, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Well, they didn't pursue. The shepherds pursued the Lord without delay. The entire town of Bethlehem could have sought the Savior, but they were more concerned with their own needs. Remember, there was no room for him in the inn, and there was no room for him in their hearts. Before us today is the same Christ, and he invites us to come. If we don't know him as Savior, he invites us to come that we might be saved. If we know him as Savior, he invites us to come to draw nigh unto him, that he might draw nigh unto us. He desires to fellowship and sup with us. What is more important than Christ this Christmas? Will we pursue him? Or are we going to be more concerned with our own needs and wants? God wants us this Christmas to have a passion for the Savior who came. It is declared again to us that this one, the Savior, was born. That Jesus came and he gave his life for us. He was born that he might die. What a wonderful reality. The Son of God, the Savior of men. He who was rich yet became poor, equal with God, but making himself of no reputation, that he might humble himself to become obedient unto death for your sake and mine. Will we pursue him this Christmas like the shepherds? Or will we, like the many there within Bethlehem, simply become more concerned with our own needs? Verse 17 reminds us that they preached with boldness. They pursued him, and when they had found him, they could only proclaim the good news to others. They had been privileged with the wonderful revelation of a Savior born, and they couldn't keep it to themselves. Folks, you and I have that same message, do we not? Do we not have the same truth of the gospel available to us? You know the message, for you yourself have been saved. All that God asks of you and all that he asks of me is that we be a witness of him to declare that which we know. We have made available to you different things that would be a help to you. Literature, tracts that you can take and hand out. When the shepherds heard the message, and when they understood that the Savior was born, that there is one who could be the Savior of their soul, the shepherd of their life, they couldn't keep that back. They had to tell others. Who will you tell this Christmas of the true meaning that Christ came to earth? Finally, verse 20 tells us they praised God with all of their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The shepherds had to finally return to their duties, but as they did so, they were overjoyed, and they praised the Lord. They glorified His name. Christmas is supposed to be, is it not, the most wonderful time of the year? It's supposed to be a joyous occasion, is it not? It's supposed to put a smile on our face. Kids are off school for 2 weeks. They smile. Parents may be groaning about that. I don't know. Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time. It's a joyous time because of who came to this earth. Look into the cradle and see Him, the Son of God, born for us, born that He might die. Listen to the message, and it ought to bring us great joy. A Savior is born. Do you know, folks, what I'm finding more and more? The longer we go, Christmas for too many becomes a drudgery. We've allowed the philosophy of the world to creep in and push Christ right out of Christmas. And hence, all the joy of it. It's become about what we get. It comes about our gifts. It comes about the Christmas parties. It comes about a meal, the turkey and all the stuffing, and all the fixings that go with it. It becomes about family and friends. But it has very little to do with the Christ who came for us. Christmas is about Christ. Now, most of us would be rather upset with me if I put a sign as you walked in, "Merry Xmas." How dare you take Christ out of Christmas? Let me ask you the question. How many of you have taken Christ out of Christmas in your home already? How many of you on Christmas Day will focus at all on Christ? For how many of you is this the most wonderful time of the year, a time of joy and celebration, or is it, I can't wait till Christmas is over? Where's Christ in Christmas for you? Folks, we need to take the time and put Him back right where He belongs, in the center of it all. How do we do that? We come back to Luke chapter 2 and we can look into the cradle. We can see this one who was born. The very Son of God, the Savior of men, born for you, born for me. We can also take the time to listen to the message of the angels. There He proclaims that in the city of David is born a Savior, Messiah, the Lord. And then we ought to take the time and live like the shepherds and pursue Him with all of our heart. Be willing to preach Him with boldness, and in all things praise Him with all of our heart. Christmas is a wonderful time of great, joyous celebration. Folks, you and I are the ones who turned from Him. Isaiah 53 makes it very clear. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to our own way. But it goes on from there. Because this one who would come, be born of the Messiah, as we read in Luke 2, makes it very clear that He would take upon Him our sin, our stripes, punishment for our iniquity, all laid upon Him. Why? That you and I might live. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, this Christmas, I trust that we'll take the time to look, to listen, and then to live and proclaim the wonderful news: a Savior is born. Let's make sure that Christ is the center of our Christmas. And if this morning you sat here with other thoughts upon your mind, can I remind you, you didn't come this morning with a purpose to worship Him. And all that you did this morning was for naught. We come that we might worship Him who is worthy of our worship, a Savior born for us. I trust this morning that as we consider the days ahead, this Christmas season, that we'll remember that unto us a son is given, unto us a child was born. And the reality is, God became flesh and dwelt among us because we as sinners were in need of a Savior. He came that He might redeem us from sin. I trust that you'll consider Christ throughout this Christmas. Let's pray together, please.